Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here is today's message.
Man, I'm pumped about today. I'm excited about what God has in store. It's reality day. It's RSM day. It's not Wednesday. It's RSM day. That's how I like to think about it. It's this day is just about reality, and I'm so excited about our main event service that we have every Wednesday night. And we've been talking, if you haven't been here for the past couple weeks, then I encourage you to get online, reality.painesvilleag.com/audio, and you can listen to the last couple weeks of sermons, and or get your friends involved in that as well. We've been recording sermons for the past year or so, so we got a lot of different archives of stuff. If you ever want to go back and listen to a sermon or tell your parents about it, feel free to. But a couple weeks ago, we started the series talking about the best. What describes the best, right? Oh, that was the best movie ever. Oh, being in a relationship's the best ever. And we often say those things because it's something out of the norm, right? Like the graphics were so awesome in the movie. That's why it's the best movie ever. You're dating such a hottie. That's why relationships are the best thing ever. Or the concert is like awesome. The best thing ever because your ears are still ringing like 5 days later, right? So we say it's the best because you experienced something that wasn't the norm. And I'm going to go pretty fast tonight through some stuff. So like I said, if you need a refresher, go back and listen online. But here's what we talked about is if you want to experience the best, that first night we talked about if you want to experience the best, if you want to be able to say Wednesday nights are the best night of the week, if you want to be able to do that, you have to bring some things to the table. The first thing you need to bring is yourself, right? One, you need to show up, right? Because you can't say that something's the best if you're not experiencing it. But two, you need to bring yourself, not the self that you think everyone should be looking at, not the self that you want everyone to think you are, but the self of your insecurities, the self of your mess-ups, the self of your hiccups and hang-ups. That sort of self is what you need to bring on a Wednesday night, right? The other thing you need to bring, the second thing, is you need to bring your expectations. We said, man, when you hit the parking lot, whether you drove yourself, whether mom or dad dropped you off, whether you came with a friend, or you walked, crawled, rolled all the way here, you need to bring your expectations. When you hit that asphalt, you need to say, man, I wonder what God's going to do tonight. And man, we have a group of students that show up for pre-service prayer at 6:15. We always talk about, man, I wonder what God's going to do tonight, knowing that God is going to do something incredible because it's the best night of the week, right? And then the third thing you need to bring is your friends. You need to bring your friends. Well, I don't have any friends that really, you know, like Jesus. Good, that's the perfect friends. Those are the friends we need because the only people that Jesus can save are sinners, right? So bring your friends that are skeptical. Bring your friends that think this is no fun. Bring your friends that laugh in your face and be like, no, I can't be like that. I got to work on myself a little bit. Bring those sorts of friends because that's the kind of people that we want here to make the best night of the week. And last week we said, why is it the best night of the week? Because of this. God's word is here. And we believe, based upon Genesis, based upon what we then see later through Scripture, that God's word is the most powerful force to have ever existed, bar none, right? Most powerful force to have ever existed. And so often we get so caught up in this, what's the most powerful force? And I'm jacked up, so I got to go over to prison because God can't use me until I get myself cleaned up and right. And then we see, okay, what is the most powerful force to have ever existed? How does he relate to sinners? And we see that in John 1, it says that he became flesh. He became a human. And so you look at Jesus, because that's God's word that became human. You look at Jesus, how did Jesus relate to sinners? You know what he did? He forgave them. He said, hey, go and sin no more. I forgive you. He healed them. He mended their brokenness. So that's how God's word impacts interlinks with sinners is all of a sudden we see that God takes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And so when we come, we say, God, you're the most powerful force to have ever existed, and we want to make room for you on a Wednesday night. And not only room for you on a Wednesday night, because we believe that when God's word goes out, it doesn't come back void, that it could do something, that God's word is literally a game changer. And so that we need to make room for God's word in our life. And there's some words that God speaks to us that we need to make room for, that that can literally be a game changer. And last week we talked about five of those words. The first word is forgiveness. Because God has more forgiveness than you have sin. Now that's crazy to think about sometimes, but when it hit me, man, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. That God has more forgiveness than I have sin. The other word is hope. That God gives us hope in hopeless situations. Man, it might seem like you don't know how to get through this, but God makes hope in hopeless situations. That's a word that he speaks, the most powerful word to ever exist. He speaks that. Purpose is the third word. That you are made on purpose for a purpose. The next word is family. That God, as a father, wants to adopt you as his sons and daughters. And our fathers here will fail. There's no father like God, because every father will fail at some level. My dad, who I think is awesome, will fail at some level, but God never will. And so we see that God says, I want you to be a part of my family. And then the fifth word is love, because God goes the distance for us. God goes the distance for us. We talked about that. And so tonight, we're going to be wrapping up this series. How many of you guys know, as we wrap up, we're talking about something called family, and how many of you guys have families that are a little bit quirky, like a little bit weird? Like, every family is made unique, right? Like, the Lapish family is a little bit different than the Leopard family, which is a little bit different than the Brown family, which is a little bit different than the Stewart family. And so there's things that, and we say, well, why is that? Well, it's just obvious. There's certain things, like we have different things that we do and stuff for the holidays, and just how we interact with one another. And you guys know that families, there's a little bit of, like, there's stuff that we do differently. Like, does anyone have some weird family stuff that you guys do? Just by a show of hands. You don't have to tell me what it is, but you know, like, my family is weird. Like, we do some weird stuff. Some of you guys are shaking your head no, and you should be shaking your head yes, because I know your families, right? So if you've never seen the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, he does a thing called hashtags, and he did a hashtag called My Crazy Family, and he kind of did a bunch of different hashtags, like My Family is Weird, My Crazy Family, stuff like that. So I put a few of those clips together, so let's see if we can watch a few of those, because I thought they were funny.
This is from @TashSuper. She says, when we travel, my family pretends we're on The Amazing Race because my mom says it's good practice if we ever make it on the show.
She's ready.
What?
She's getting ready.
If we ever get on the show. This one's from @RobinSquared. She says, my grandma always straightens out her clothes before answering the phone as if the person on the other end can see her.
Hello.
This one's from @Stephen L. Jacques. She says, my mom sneezed, blessed herself, then thanked herself.
Oh.
Achoo. Bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This one's from Katie Dell, 23. She says, my dad moved the treadmill outside so we can get some fresh air while running.
No.
You know what? No, just let him do what he wants.
I gotta get outside.
No, you're right. Let's help
I
Dad
got my
move.
Beer right Let's, here.
Don't spill the beer when you're moving the treadmill. Yeah. This one's from Os Karma. She says, when my family watches Jimmy Fallon, we clap when the audience does.
Let's hear it for that family. There you go.
I like that. I like that.
They're living.
This one's from @Gabby Duval. She says, my dad makes bird noises in the grocery store to let my mom know where he is.
Hey.
Larry?
All right.
Here's the bird.
This one's from @Kelly Knoxville. She says, my six-year-old nephew prayed before dinner one night and said, dear Lord, we started from the bottom, now we're here.
Wow, that's great family.
The Book of Drake.
Yeah.
316. This one's from at Jay Lutjens. He says, whenever my brother and I got into a fight, my dad would make us hold hands and walk around the neighborhood.
No, that's great, Dad.
That's it. You boys are taking a stroll. Get out there.
That's the best.
My word, my word. Boys fighting in the house. Now get out there.
Make them hold hands and stroll about the neighborhood.
That is the best. No kidding. My mom, when my sisters fought, made my sisters sing Skidamarinka Dinka Dink to each other. Skidamarinka Dinka Dink, Skidamarinka Do, I love you, I love, and sing the whole song. So it was awesome when I always tried to get my sisters to fight each other so that they had to do that thing because they hated it. Because by the time you're done singing, there's no way you can actually be mad at each other. It's ridiculous. But sometimes families are a little weird, right? Families are a little quirky. Families are kind of a little crazy sometimes. And sometimes it's just like plain embarrassing. It's like, why are you my dad or my mom? And like, it's just embarrassing times sometimes. And you guys have heard story after story of my family. And you know, my parents came this weekend, and so did Lauren's parents. And there's just moments that they say things that are just like, okay, I love you. You guys are so weird. But sometimes here at Reality, I like to think of us as family. Not that I'm the daddy and mom and Lauren's the mom. I like to think of us kind of as the older brother and sister. So we're kind of the older brother that's saying, hey, dude, don't, all right, you know, let me just show you the way a little bit here. So that's kind of how I like to view how we do family here. But sometimes you can think of, man, Reality family, like, this family's kind of weird. Right? You got some people that go, like, did you realize that one of our Reality family members, like, ate a stick of butter tonight just to win a game? Like, that's weird, right? Like, some people are very competitive in carpet ball upstairs and, like want to disown you if you beat them at, and so it's like, sometimes family is just a little bit weird, right? And so there's some bits about us that make us a little bit weird. But here's the thing about family is there's always some sort of core belief, some sort of habits that you guys do that make you a family, that make you a family. Like your parents might drag you to every one of your siblings, like recitals, sports games, dentist office, tooth cleaning, like everything. And you're like, why do we do this? And it's a value. Because we do things together. We're a family. You ever hear that? We're a family. We stick together. We do things together, right? And so we want to be supportive. We support one another. That's a value in your family. Or some, you like have a ton of chores, like you turned two and all of a sudden, all right, go mow the lawn. I want it, the whole acres of 20 acres out there. I want it all mowed. I want you to clean all the dishes. It's like, I can't even say my words yet. And you're like, hey, come on, son, is dinner ready yet? Right? And so, like, some of you guys have had a lot of chores. Why? Because a family value is, hey, work is important. Responsibilities are important. That you need to learn how to handle them well because, hey, that's the real world. Like, or some families, it's just normal to all be yelling at one another. Lauren's family, how they communicate, not angrily necessarily, just talk to each other, is at a higher tone than I've ever been used to. And so when I, like my mom and I and my dad, I, you know, my sister is kind of, hey, how's it going and stuff. And I go over to Lauren's house one time and her siblings are in the kitchen. Hey, give me that chicken. I want the chicken. I want the potatoes. Would you hurry up with the ketchup? And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I sat down in the living room. I was like, babe, man, are you okay? Is everything going okay? What happened? She's like, yeah, what are you talking about? We're just getting dinner ready. Oh, okay. Like, I feel like when there's yelling, I have to get quieter to, like, balance it out so I get really quiet. And here's a hint. This is not a hint. This is something that's sad that I do. That's a shortcoming of mine. But if I always do the opposite. If I feel pushed to do something, like, rushed, I slow down. Like if somebody's like, come on, hurry up. Would you just hurry up already? I'm like, hey, I'm going as fast as I can here. All right. This is just my normal walking pace. And Lauren's like, what are you talking about? You always walk like this. And I do. I always walk fast. But man, if Lauren gets upset and she's like, would you hurry up? I'm coming. Good grief. Why are you so upset about this? Right. And so it's one of those things that It's just, it's one of those things. Families have all these things. You know, after college, my dad took me and my brother-in-laws out, and he said, hey, you know, this is something that's important to our family, and he did something that he said, not only do families, sometimes families have this underlying theme in their, whether it's, hey, family's important, we do dinners together. That was something for my family. We do dinners together because we're family. And sometimes they don't always identify them. They don't really know. And so my dad said, I want to identify what our family means and what I want us to represent. Because sometimes if you don't have a goal to shoot for, then you're just aimless. And so he goes, not saying that we're perfect in this, Donnie, but this is what I want us to always be shooting for. And so he made this crest for me after college, and actually my mom helps this guy in our town, in my hometown, create this stained glass for me. And each of these kind of represents a couple things, but what the main thing that he said is, Donnie, I want us as men of and leaders of this family, I want you to learn and know that we are called to love, lead, protect, and provide. And he had I have a plaque in my office, and this actually stays in my office, and it says, Donnie, you know, it describes what it means to love, to lead, protect, and to provide, and what that means. And so all of a sudden I realized that, man, so often we go through life without a goal, without a plan, without some direction. We kind of just say, hey, you know, it turned out pretty good, but my dad was intentional to say, no, I want you to know what you're aiming for. This is something that's important to me. And so tonight I want to talk about what's important for us as Reality Student Ministries, what we believe as a family and what we want to shoot for. Not that we're there yet, but this is something that we want to shoot for. And this is something that we want to aim for, so that when we say, yeah, I'm a part of Reality Student Ministries, that's my family. That's my church family right there. That we could describe it in these kind of simple phrases. Because as a group, our family and our vision, and you guys know this, John 10:10, right? Live life full. There you go, right? So live life full. And next week, hopefully we'll be having shirts and we'll be selling them. V-necks say live life full, and it'll be awesome. And you guys can wear those through the summer, wear them to camp, represent. We even got some sunglasses that we'll be having for sale as well. I have Reality Student Ministries on it because we're legit like that. We want to be the best looking group, crew out there. It's going to be awesome. But to be able to live life full, there's a couple things that we want to get to, some core habits that we need to get to be able to do that. And one of those, the first core habit, there's three of them. First core habit is this: we worship passionately. As Reality Student Ministries, that's who we are. We worship passionately. And so the question that goes with that is, how do you, or why do you get up? Why do you get up? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you get up for worship? Why do you get up? And I'm not just talking about, oh my goodness, does this mean that we have to have like an aerobics class basically every time that the band gets on stage and say, we are running, woo, to you, right? No, I'm not saying that, right? I'm not saying you got to get all crazy during when the band starts playing worship, but I want to talk about what worship really means and what we're talking about here. And so in Romans 12, verse 1, it says this: and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. That's kind of a little, okay, really wordy. So let's look at the Message version. Kind of breaks it down a little bit. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life. Take all that, right? I'd even say you're going to school, you picking on your brothers or sisters, life, right? And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Whew. There you go. That's a good line to remember. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. And so we say this, we want our lives, everything that we do, to honor God. So when we say we worship passionately, it means that we bring honor to this place, that everything that we do is a reflection of who God is. And so sometimes, and this is just kind of a reality check for some of us, you guys, and myself included, we don't always bring honor to one another. In fact, we kind of trash talk a little bit, right? We kind of, whether it's against siblings, whether it's against friends, whether it's whatever it is, but all of a sudden we start to trash talk, and that's not who we are. That's not who God created us to be. He said, no, I want you to build one another up, not tear one another down. Here's the other thing that we tend to do, and this is kind of the practical of what does it mean to worship passionately, is sometimes we judge. God wants us to honor, not trash talk. He wants us to love and not judge, looking at their sin, saying, man, what? They're kind of jacked up. Why are they even here? Why? Man, they're not even paying attention, Pastor Donnie. They're like on their iPhone the whole time. They're not even, what the heck, right? So often we're casting judgment. And here's the thing I want you to know. Some of you guys' friends have some very public screw-ups, very public sins. Like, it's apparent. Everyone knows what you're doing. Just because theirs is more public than your secret, private things that might go on in your head, might go on when no one else is looking, doesn't make it any more of a sin than what you're dealing with. And so some of you guys need to have a reality check of, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be that guy's friend anymore. Do you know what he does on a Friday night? Do you know what he does? And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, he does some stupid stuff, but what have you been doing? I saw the way you talked back to your mom and disrespected her, and you know, and so we need to check ourselves in some of the way that we do things and what we think about, what we do when no one's looking, what we're processing through. And so some of this, we need to check ourselves on our judgment, right? And so if we are really going to be a family that worships passionately, that means that everything that we do honors God. And so we need to speak honor and we need to speak love, right? And we don't want to create a place where it's a bunch of hostility of backstabbing, right? So that's what we are. We are a group. We are a family that worships passionately because we actively reflect Christ. And we do that by inviting that into our music habits, what we listen to, how we study, how we eat, how we watch our movies, how we do school, how we do practices, how we do our conversations. We need to make every attempt to seek him first, his righteousness. We don't just sit back and wait for life to come at us. We pursue him intentionally. We wake up intentionally and expectant to say, God, I know that you have something good for me today. I wonder what you're going to do. So that's the first thing, worship passionately. Second thing that we do, we grow deeply. We grow deeply, right? The question that goes with that is, what are you rooted in? What are you rooted in? We talked last week about how we honor God's word. We place the highest value that we can on God's word. That's why we make room for it. That's why we make room for sermon time. That's why we make room to worship and the songs that center around Jesus and who he is. And so we say that we want to absorb as much as possible of God's word. We want to be lifelong learners. And you're like, lifelong learners sounds like such a stupid phrase, right? And I agree with you. But when I talk about that, I say we need to be rooted into God's word. Right? Because sometimes it's like, what are you really rooted in? Colossians 2, verse 6 through 7 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you are taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So what does it take to grow deep roots? Think of a tree, like, right? So a tree has to have deep roots to be able to stand. And this is what's crazy. If a tree grows in a perfect environment, you realize that it will die prematurely. If it grows in a perfect environment with no hardships, no storms, no nothing, it will die prematurely. And I thought this was really interesting. Lauren and I heard a sermon on this, or this our superintendent started talking about this story. And you guys are too young to probably remember this, and I didn't even know about it until I looked it up. And you can look it up. It's Biosphere 2. And what they did was, it was this experiment that they did down in Arizona. It was back, I want to say 90s maybe, 80s, I don't know, several years ago, where they wanted to build a utopia, more or less. And so they actually built You think of it, it's literally, they built like this dome kind of thing in a bunch of little areas, and they wanted to build everything to see what would it be like if we had a perfect world, like no pollutants, no toxins, no air pollution. They had purified water brought in and kind of filtrated all through the thing. They brought in trees, they brought in all the crops, they brought in all this stuff to say, you know, would we be able to live much longer if we didn't have all this pollutant? How would trees and how would the fish react and all this stuff? And so they created almost a Garden of Eden of what they're trying to do, but without everything else. They try to take away all the negative sides of what they could say. So no storms are going to hit this place. No, you know, all this stuff is going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect temperature year-round, and it's going to be awesome. And so they created this, but they came up, it failed. It failed at a lot of levels. And now, like, some University of Arizona or something is now owns it, kind of turned it into a museum. And what was interesting was it failed. The fish started producing too much and overpopulated, and then started dying and clogging the filtration system. And they did all this stuff, and plants weren't really reacting the way they thought. And what was interesting to me was the trees that they talked about. Was the trees here, they would sprout up super fast, like better than any trees that are around. They would grow up really fast, but all of a sudden they would grow up and then they'd fall over. And then they'd grow up, and then fall over. And they're like, I don't understand why. Why are they just falling over? And you know, you dissect them, they seemed normal, but all of a sudden they started to realize something about the trees. You see, when trees are planted and they're really small, you know, they just sprout out of the ground a little bit. And there's a wind current that happens at that level that they can handle. And how trees grow is all of a sudden they kind of, they grow this thing called like storm bark. And so they get thicker. And then they grow deeper. And so when they feel the wind, they start to produce this bark that can be thicker. And then they start to produce roots that go a little bit deeper so that they can withstand the wind. And then if it grows a little bit more, it's a different kind of wind. It's a different kind of atmosphere, all of a sudden 5 feet. And so it needs to grow a little bit thicker and grow deeper. And all of a sudden, through this process, you get these trees that are like, you know, you go out of our church here that are 30 or 40 feet tall. You get these huge trees that are withstanding crazy Lake Erie storms and the crazy winters that we have. And all of a sudden, we realize that they have this thing that's called storm bark that enables them to be thicker, to withstand the hardships, to withstand the storms, and to be deeper so that their roots are planted deeper in the ground so that when the storms do come and when the winds do blow, that they're able to withstand that. And all of a sudden, you start to realize that, man, what you thought looked perfect on the outside actually weakened them because those little storms that you're trying to protect them from, all that'll preach, parents, all right? The storms that you're trying to protect them from all of a sudden actually help them grow deeper into what they needed, what they were planted in, and it allowed them to be thicker and handle what they were, the environment that they were in. And so all of a sudden, we see that so often we get frustrated with the storms in our life and the frustrations and the hardships that come our way. Man, you don't understand what it's like to be in my family. You don't understand what it's like to be at school. You don't understand what it's like to have my siblings, what it's like to have my brain, because I can't think through some of this stuff, and all I get is D's and F's, and it's so frustrating. And all of a sudden, we realize there's all these hardships. But that is supposed to help us turn back to Jesus and say, God, I want to go deeper in you. Because if we get rid of all those hardships and stuff, guess what? You're going to grow up tall, woo, wow, and then you're going to fall. You're not going to be able to be planted and rooted deeply for what you were created for. And so we need to realize that we are created to be rooted deeply in God's word, to be rooted into who he says we are. You know, those powerful words of forgiveness and purpose and family and love and understanding hope. And all of a sudden, those are the words that we need to be rooted deeply in so that when the storms come, we say, you know what, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into what God's called me to do. Because guess what? Everyone faces that. Even last night and this morning, Lauren and I were dealing with this. Man, I feel really weird. I feel kind of depressed. It's really weird. You know what I had to do? Focus. God. I've not been given that sort of spirit. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to get depressed about something that I think that I'm failing at. I know that you have called me here for a reason of being at this point with my family for a reason. So you know what? I'm going to turn. I'm going to focus on you. But all of a sudden, you got to grow a little bit deeper. You got to get a little bit thicker, because that's what God's creating you for. And so in that, we need to understand that, hey, hardships are necessary for growth. Hardships are necessary for growth. If we want to grow in God, if we want to become everything that God's created us to be, we got to go through some hardships, because that turns us back to focusing on Jesus, growing deeply in him. It's something that we need for the very sustenance of our being. The third thing is this: engage boldly. The question is, do you chase comfort or courage? Do you chase comfort or courage? Matthew 28:19 says this: go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, God created us for a reason. He created us because he wants to pour into us, but he also wants us to pour into others. And so there's this video that I want us to show real fast, but it's all about this idea of what kind of image did God create in us, that he wants us to engage boldly. And as a family, as a reality family, we are called to engage boldly, right? That's that whole Great Commission, to go into all the world. So with that, let's watch this video.
A cup is an object that can be filled with liquid that is purified, mineralized from the brook, or even distilled. Cups come in all sorts of different colors and sizes, from big cups to little cups. One thing we all realize is they are all made to put something into them, and once filled, the purpose is to empty it out again. We are called to reach out to the broken ones all around us, to give what we have been given, to pour out and bless. A cup of water can be something as simple as a pleasant greeting, or a listening ear to the words from a friend in a last-minute meeting. God fills us up with his grace, mercy, joy, and peace. We are filled so that we can take what is inside of us and others release. Be filled. Empty yourself. Refresh others. Then repeat. Because a cup that stays empty or full profits no one, and elements start to rot and reek. You are the refreshing that others need to be lifted up. So rise up and be aware of what is inside your cup. Who are you refreshed today?
So it's this whole idea that God created us to engage the world around us. God created you to engage the world around you. That he gave you a great insight. He wants to pour into you some amazing love and passion, but that's not for you just to keep to yourself. It's to turn around and to give back. And so Benjamin Franklin said this: those who fail to plan to fail. And that's a quote that, you know, I hear all the time. But it's one of those things that we need to be intentional about impacting those around us. So often we say, yeah, I'll do that when I get around to it. Yeah, I'll do that if the opportunity presents itself. Yeah, I'll do that if. And so often we go through our day and we're just like, it never happened. We need to wake up with intentionality, saying, you know what, today I'm going to engage the world around me, my neighbors, my family, my friends, my school, my teammates, my workplace, boldly. I'm going to engage them boldly. We want to be those people that engage our friends with the truth, and we don't just judge them, but we love them through it. But here's the thing about engaging boldly: it means failing occasionally. It means coming up short sometimes. And here's the problem: is often we view failure as not an option. We view failings as something that's a description of who we are. And we say, you know, if you lost a soccer game, then you are a loser. If you failed and got an F on a grade card, then you are a failure. If you mess up or screw up, then you are a mess up. You are a screw up. But that's not the way God has designed this life. He said, no. See, we need to not be afraid of coming up short sometimes. Because here's the thing. And I've said this before. You might not see God work immediately. But God will always work eventually as you continually faithfully go after the people and the call on your life. As you engage boldly the people around you, you will see God show up eventually. One of the missionaries I was talking to you earlier about during offering, he gave this story, and he talked about this guy that in the late 1800s was a missionary that went overseas to this Muslim country, into this Muslim, the small Muslim sect, and he was only there for 2 years. That's not really long in missionary life. He was there for 2 years, and all of a sudden he died. And he didn't plant a church. He didn't really see that many people come to know Jesus at all, because Muslims is a really hard place to bring the gospel. And all of a sudden, 74 years later in 1961, a church started there in that small little sect, that small little village area. And that church was started not by a missionary that came in, not by, you know, somebody that came from the outside, but it was started by an actual Muslim that had turned to Jesus, that had had a conversation with another Muslim who had become a Christian. And that Muslim had actually become a Christian because of another conversation that he had with another Muslim that had become a Christian. And that kept going and going until they were able to trace that back to this one man that had seemingly failed, died on the missions field, had a couple conversations, and the guy that actually received Christ, he wasn't clear, but he most likely didn't even accept Christ that moment that he talked to the missionary. And so all of a sudden you see that now this church is growing, and it's reaching in a Muslim community, this place that's dark, this place that people say that's never going to happen, a place that people say, hey, this can't be done. All of a sudden, there's a light that's shining in the darkness. And we see that, man, all of a sudden, sometimes in our own lives, man, it seems impossible. It seems like my family, it just goes in one ear and out the other. It just seems like they're not listening. It doesn't seem like they're getting it. It doesn't seem like my friends are understanding. It doesn't seem like my coworkers are getting it. I look at Hebrews 11. If you have time tonight, man, I'd love for you to read through Hebrews 11. It's kind of known as the Hall of Faith. And this whole thing of Hebrews 11 verse 13 talks about all these guys that followed after God's call in their life. They, you know, Abraham and Moses and all these great followers of God. But it says this in verse 13. It says, all these people died, still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. So you look at some of these stories, and you see that, man, these guys of the Bible, they had shortcomings. They had what they would deem as failures, but they didn't let that define it. And I want you to know that, hey, guess what? I want you to know this. What happens to you doesn't have to define who you are. What happens to you doesn't have to define who you are. Well, I lost the soccer game. I'm a loser. No. That doesn't define who you are. God does. And so the question is, are you willing to sacrifice your comfort and your view of yourself so that others may know Christ? Are you willing to say, you know what, I want to be, if I know that this is who we are as a family, we are a family that engages boldly the world around us. I want you to know this. Don't allow fear to define your faith. I'll get around to it. I tried, it just didn't happen. I don't want to be that guy. Man, I've heard that all the time, and I used to say that all the time. I don't want to be that guy that, like, always is talking about Jesus and, like, pushes people away because they're like, man, that guy's really weird. Man, I used to be that guy. Like, I didn't want to push people away from Jesus because I was like, hey, you know, church, Jesus. Man, how much would I love to be a guy that always talked about Jesus, that people said, that guy's a guy that's always talking about Jesus. That's annoying, but he's always talking about Jesus. Always. And so often we get so uneasy, and we want to go on the other side. Well, I'm just going to kind of like secretly love them like God would love them. Like, I'm not really going to talk about anything. And just kind of be like, hey, how's it going? Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, I'm really struggling with it. Yeah, that sucks. All right, see you later. Yes. When you could have been like, yeah, I understand, but I believe that God created you for a purpose, man. And you're like, dude, that's never going to happen in a conversation with me. Why not? Why can't we be the ones that boldly proclaim God? And Matthew talks about how the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And it's not talking about how you need to start slaying people and killing people, but it's talking about why are we not bold enough to get into places where that seem impossible and say, you know what, God, I'm going to forcefully advance your gospel. I'm going to forcefully advance your kingdom, knowing that, you know what, though none go with me, still I will follow. God, I'm going to go after you because I know that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm not going to let the opinions of others dictate my faith in you. And so tonight, we're going to simply end with a time of worship. And if the worship team would come back up, we're going to end with a time of worship of simply saying, God, I want to get alone with you. And I want to simply look at these three areas of my life. And I believe that you have called me to live life full. And called me to live life full in these three areas of worshiping you passionately, going after you, growing deeply, and engaging boldly. And so in those three areas, maybe you need to find some time for you to get alone and say, God, what are you doing? God, am I supposed to be worshiping you? Am I worshiping you with everything that I have, with my whole life? Am I worshiping you? Am I growing deeply in what you have called me to do? Am I engaging you? Am I engaging the culture around me boldly? Because this is what I want you to know. It doesn't matter if you try to check off everything if you don't have that relationship with God first. And so tonight, why don't we go ahead and stand up? You can stay in this area, you can spread out, you can sit against the wall, you can do whatever you need, but I want you to start getting alone with God and say, you know what, God, I want to get focused on you. Because God, I want to live life full. God, I want to go after you with everything that's within me. I want to worship you passionately with my whole life. I don't want to be pushing people away. I want to be drawing them closer to you. I want to be engaging the world around me boldly. I want to be engaging my family boldly. I want to be growing deeper in you because I know that when I grow deep in you, I am accomplishing, I'm fulfilling what you have created me for. By turning my face to you and trusting in you completely, God, that's the only way that I can accomplish what you have created me for. And so tonight, maybe you need to ask some of those hard questions. Maybe you need to get honest with God and say, God, have all of me. Have my insecurities, have my shortcomings, have my failings, but I know that I can't do this without you. And God, I love you. So tonight, wherever you are, just find a place to get alone with Him and spend a few precious moments with the Creator of the universe.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who He has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.